Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again to receive from him all that we need so that, and then to return praise and thanksgiving to him. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today in today's service is this love that we have been connected to in Christ, this love that we need, and this love in which we get to live. And so as we gather this morning, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God through the amazing gift of baptism and adopted into his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh Lord, you have called us to be your own, and you have drawn us here to worship you. Pray that you'd help us to set aside any distractions, anything that might take our focus away from right where it should be. Fixing our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to be present here, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. All of you others has failed. Those that I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We didn't communicate this to the band, but we're going to actually sing the next song here shortly, as soon as the band is ready to go. Sorry, that was our fault.
Salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Spirit, our God has overcome. never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome.
Please be seated. It is now time for us to have a baptism. And so if you guys could come forward at this time, little Dean is going to be baptized. Baptism is an amazing gift that God has given us. We know about the salvation that our Lord has earned for us because of his perfect life, and then how he took our sin upon himself, paid the penalty for it, and then gives us new life in his resurrection. Such an amazing thing, but the problem is that we know that this gift is received through faith, and the question is, well, how can a baby have faith? And this is God's answer. God's answer is this, that a baby can have faith in him. Babies, and that faith can be offered to that baby in this amazing gift of baptism. And so this is the day that little Dean is going to be adopted into the family of God and become one of his children in such an amazing way. And so as we are coming into that, knowing that he is going to become a child in the family of God, that gives you guys some really serious responsibilities. Just like with your older kiddos, your job is going to be to raise Dean in the faith, that he is going to be taught about Jesus' love and what Jesus has done for him, and teach him about the relationship that God has defined for him to live in. And so are you willing to undertake that responsibility? Outstanding. And you folks, can you be mean? Can you be mean? No, the thing is your job is to hold them accountable. That if you see that they're not doing the job of raising Dean in the faith, that you'd be the gentle reminders to continue to help them to remember this really important task. Also that you would hold Dean in your prayers and that you would encourage him in his faith as well. Are you willing to do this?
I am.
Excellent. Wonderful. Then in that case, Mr. Dean, I'm going to just use him right here. Receive upon your forehead and upon your heart the sign of the cross, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And now I take him. Ha! Now you're mine. All right, bud. You ready for this? All right, here we go. How is he to be named?
Dean Matthew Francis
Frazier. Dean Matthew Francis Frazier. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, you did pretty good. I'm impressed. There you go. We'll dry you up. Now you can start getting warm again. All right. So now this gift of baptism, it does in his heart, it creates the faith that our God, in our God, that receives the gift of God. And as we remember that faith, we light this candle to represent the light that God has put inside this little baby boy. And we also, this is a really important thing for him to remember, that this happened today. Really critical, because one of the big things that he's going to ask later in life is, who am I and what makes me important? What makes me special? Where does my value come from? And today answers all of those questions. He is a child of the King. He is a servant of God. He is a child of God. He will be a man of God. He will serve God in this world, and that is who he is and what makes him special. And what makes him special is that the God of all creation loved him so much that he'd sent his son into the world to die for him and to receive him as his child. And that he will have the security of always knowing that he is the promise of God, that his faith, that his sins have been covered, and that he gets to go to live with God forever in heaven. So it's kind of a big deal, you know? And so to remind him constantly of who he is in Christ, we give you the candle that you can burn on his birthday or on his baptism birthday to remember the day that he was baptized. The banner, and kids always ask, what's that? That's their favorite thing. What's that? And why? The two big questions. So the thing is this, this is to remind you of the day that you were baptized and brought into the family of God and you belong to him, so that he will never forget what happened to him today. Excellent? Okay, very good. Let me be the first to introduce to you the newest child in the kingdom of God. All right. And then let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this little baby Dean. We pray that you would continue to be with him, that continue to grow this faith that you placed in him today. Lord, I pray that you would be with his parents, that their faith may continue to grow so that they will have the faith to pass on to their children. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless them in every way because of your incredible love for them. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the Lord continue to be with you and to work in you that which he prepared before creation for you to do. I have to give you your baby back.
I'll take it.
Oh, excellent. Then you guys can be seated. Here's some certificates. Lily, I'm guessing that's you. And Josh. And a certificate for you folks to remember this day as well. Thank you so much. And with that, my friends, let us continue our worship and praise of God this morning.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song.
Bless the Lord.
and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Chigg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, kids. How are we today? Very good. Good to see you, Liam. I won't start without you. All right. So, my question for you today is this: what is love? I mean, love is something, is a word we use a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, who loves video games? Yeah. Who loves pizza?
Me.
Who loves school? Well, I'm impressed. Very good. Who loves your mom?
Mama.
Does that mean the same thing as loving pizza?
No.
No. Mom doesn't taste anywhere near as good. That's what it is. Anyway, the thing is this, is that we kind of use the word love to mean a lot of different things, don't we? But when God tells us something really, really big in this text today. He tells us that we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to love each other. So what does that mean? Well, that's kind of...
Be kind.
Be kind? Do you think that might help?
Yeah.
That's probably at least part of it. What else?
Caring for others.
Caring for others? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Miss Zoe?
Helping people.
Helping people. What do you say, Liam?
Help
the people what?
To walk.
Sure, that'll work too. The little old lady to cross the street, is that what you're thinking? Yeah, whether she wants to cross the street or not. Yeah. All right, very good. Well, here's the thing is that Jesus has a really specific thing when he talks about loving each other, okay? Because what he did is he said this. He goes, I want you to love each other, but I want you to love each other the way I loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us?
He died on the cross
for us. Excellent. So that means we all get to die on the cross for our brothers.
No.
Well, that's good because I wasn't looking forward to that. That was going to be difficult, right? But what Jesus was saying is this. When Jesus loved us, Jesus did what it took so that we could be saved, right? He loved us so much, and what it took for him was dying on the cross, taking our sins, taking the punishment for us so that we could live in heaven with him forever. And what he's telling us is that we're supposed to love each other, which means not just that we have mushy feelings toward each other, but that we allow that Jesus' love will cause us to help each other even when it's going to be difficult. Do you think it was easy to die on the cross?
No.
So here's the next thing is how do you love your mom? Here's another thing, right? How do you love your mom? Do you know how you can love, what? How do you love your mom? How? You cuddle with her on the couch? That's a good way to love your mom. Yeah, what else?
Watch
movies in her room with her, spend time with her? Yeah, what else? Just love how she cares for you? Yeah. How about this? Work for her.
No. Yes.
Yeah. Somebody just said no. That's not a thing. That's not how that works. Yeah. It really is how that works. Here's the thing. If we love the people around us, if we love our mom, does that mean we help her?
Yes.
Like, what if it's not very fun to help her? What if it's raining and you have to take the trash out? Do you love your mom that much?
Yeah.
To take the trash out in the rain? You don't take the trash out?
I can put on a raincoat, or I can take a...
Your dad does that. Okay, very good. How about wash the dishes?
Yeah.
Without breaking them. Oh, the dishwasher does that. You got an answer for everything, don't you, here? Yeah. Well, here's this. Is there any jobs in the house that need doing that would really help your mom? Cleaning your room. Yeah, is that going to be an easy job, cleaning your room? Not so much. Well, here's the question.
I love mopping.
Why would you? That's awesome. Although that, okay, well, we won't go there. The thing is, let's stick with the cleaning the room. Is cleaning your room fun?
No.
But will you do it anyway?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
she said so and
you
love her. That's kind of an important detail in there too, right? Not just because she makes you, but we do it because we love her, right? And guys, listen, this is important. This is the same thing with Jesus. We don't just follow Jesus' rules. You know, like Jesus tells us, don't tell lies and obey your parents, right? And he tells us, what else does he tell us? He tells us, don't hurt each other. What else does he tell us? He tells us a lot of things, right? And the question is, why do we do those things? Do we just do them because he tells us to and we have to do whatever he says? Or do we do it because
he loves us
and because we love
him?
See how that works? That he tells us the best way to live because he loves us, and then we, because we love him so much, we want to do the things that he wants us to do. Does that make sense? Yeah, it kind of does. So what love is, when it really comes down to it, is doing the things, even when they're hard, that that will actually be loving to the person we're trying to love, right? And what Jesus told us is that the way we can show our love for him is by doing the things that he says. Is that cool? Does that mean that Jesus won't love us if we don't do the things that he said?
No.
Is there anything that we could ever possibly do that would make God stop loving us?
No.
Does Jesus always forgive us? Yes, but does that mean we don't want to do what he wants us to do or what he tells us to do? No, we want to do it. We just don't always make it work right, right? Okay, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to do the things that are loving to others and loving to you because we love you. In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right. It is now time for a little worship. So if you 4-year-old through fourth grade, you can meet at the cross in the center aisle, assuming with parental permission. Okay. And they will come back after the message is over. The rest of you folks, let us open our scriptures today. And I'm going to grab my sermon, otherwise this could get wild. All right. Last week's message was one of my favorites for this year. It was the vine and the branches. You know why it's one of my favorites for this year? Because it's the school theme for the year, right? That we're connected in Christ. We're connected together because of the love of Christ, because he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connected to him, which connects us all together because he is the core and he is the one that we are all connected to. And we're connected to him because of his great love for us, not because we deserve to be connected to him, but that because of his incredible love for us and unbelievable mercy and the suffering of Jesus on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserved and gave us instead his perfect life so that we now are worthy of being connected to the vine because of what Jesus did. It's an amazing truth, right? And Jesus has came to earth so that he could create that relationship. He wanted to make it possible for us to live at peace with God, even though we didn't deserve to. But Jesus did more than just that when he came to earth. He came to earth to create the relationship, but he also came to earth to describe and define that relationship. He spent a lot of time teaching his disciples as he went from place to place. And one of the refrains in his teaching was, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. And then there was some sort of parable, right? The kingdom of God is like a sower who goes out and sows some seed. The kingdom of God is like a man who planted good seed, and then somebody, the enemy came and planted bad seed. He tells all these parables that tell us about the kingdom of heaven. Well, today, John just is coming at it a little different. He didn't follow the refrain, but what we are reading about today is exactly the same thing. God is defining what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. In other words, what does this relationship that Jesus has invited us into because of his death and resurrection and the faith that the Spirit brings us, especially in this gift of baptism that we celebrated this morning, that we are working so hard to pass on to our young children because they need to know that they are connected to this God and what it means to be connected to this God. What is this relationship? What does it look like? And what it looks like is this, that we remain in his love. That we remember that the reason that we came into this relationship is because of the great love of God, that we couldn't do it without him. He, Jesus, was required. And the Spirit is required even to give us faith, that there was nothing that we could do to get here. But now that we are in this relationship, here's what the relationship looks like. What the relationship looks like is this, that we live in his love. The Bible talks about abide in his love. And what I've realized is that the word abide is like an old word for the word live. That we just exist in this love, day to day, all the time. If you are alive, you're in his love. That is the relationship that we live in. That this love that saved us is the love that we live in. That when we are connected to the vine is supplying us the love that we need, because do we continually sin and fall short of God's glory? I do. I mean, if everybody's honest, we all do. We don't get this right. And do we need the constant forgiveness and grace of Christ that is poured out upon us? And we are fed this through the vine. That is what we are getting. That is what we need. And it is what God supplies. And that relationship is so important, because through the vine, we receive his love. And then Jesus says, now here's what I want you to do with that love. I want you to love everybody around you. And the question is, well, does God really know what he's asking? I mean, have you seen some of these people? They aren't easy. I mean, they can be downright difficult, belligerent, insulting, frustrating, shall we say dumb. I mean, there's two kinds of drivers, right? I was raised by my mother, and this is what I was taught. There are two kinds of drivers. There are the lunatics that are flying past you, and the turkeys that are driving really slow in front of you. I mean, that's the kind of drivers that are out there. And God is telling us, okay, because of the love that I have given you, I want you to love one another. And that's asking a lot. And are you going to be able to do it on your own? Well, don't try. It won't work. You won't get far. But the question is this, is that then Jesus comes on and he says this. Oh, this is a little distressing, actually. He gets to one place and he goes, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So the question is this, is that a conditional statement? In other words, what I'm saying is, does that mean that the only way we can remain in God's command or in God's love is to follow his commands? You understand what I'm saying? It's like this. How did we come to faith? We came to faith. Did we come to faith because we were so good? Well, no, we pretty much established that. We came to faith even though we're not very good. And because of the love and grace of God, he continually forgives us even though we don't deserve it because of what Jesus did. Jesus took the punishment of our sin. That is how we came to faith. Well, the question is then, do we need to follow his laws in order to remain in faith? Because if we have to do that, I'm in trouble. Because as much as I love God and as much as I want to do the things that he wants me to do, I don't do them very well. And as much as I don't want to do the things he forbids me to do, I tend to do those better. It's not good. And I don't live up to his standards. And if my salvation is contingent on me being effective at loving the way he is describing, I am in big trouble. And so the question is this statement telling us that if we are going to remain in God's love, we must do his commands? And the answer is no. That is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is this. He is describing what the relationship is supposed to look like. He said, look, the relationship that I have created with you, the relationship that I died to bring you into, the relationship that the Spirit gave you faith so that you can enjoy, this relationship is supposed to look like this. That I love you just like the Father loved Jesus, and just like Jesus loved the Father, and Jesus perfectly carried out the Father's plan so that you and I can be saved. That because of that love relationship that exists between the Father and the Son, that Jesus brings glory to the Father by carrying out the Father's plan perfectly. That's the ideal. That's what it's supposed to look like. And like that, we are supposed to receive the love of Christ, return love to Christ, and then carry out the Jesus' plan of loving the people around us and not loving them flippantly, not loving them by like a like on Facebook. But loving them sacrificially, loving them deeply, loving them in ways that actually make us uncomfortable. That's the image of the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, think about this. What an amazing thing that if we would all do this, what would our world be like? I mean, we would have people who would like see somebody in need and they would do everything they could to help them because we're just overflowing with the love of Christ, and that if our God has provided for me so richly, how can I not provide for my brother in need, right? And that the brother in need would never take what isn't necessary. You know what I'm saying? That they would never think of doing such a thing because that would not be loving in reply. It would not be right for me to take more than what is necessary. I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't cheat. I wouldn't try to get away with anything. That the relationships would be perfect and beautiful, and that we could completely trust each other. Unfortunately, that's not the way we live. We live in a world tainted with sin, and because of sin. People are selfish. People get distracted. Instead of focusing purely on the love of Christ and working out that incredible, beautiful picture of the law of God, we instead get distracted by the things of the world. And the world has a lot to say if you want to listen. You know, they're going to say things like, if somebody punches you, punch them back harder, right? They're going to say the one that dies with the most toys wins, right? They're going to say all kinds of crazy things. They're going to say that in a relationship, the one with the most power wins. The one who can get their way more often wins. If you haven't noticed, those are all absolutely the opposite of what God's law describes. God's law doesn't say that the strongest gets their way. Jesus is the strongest. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Did he want to go to the cross? Was that like his idea of a good time? But he did it because it was the Father's plan and it was what we needed. So the one who is the strongest did not get his way, did not insist upon his own best interest. And in fact, the strongest one made himself the servant of all. And in this church, that is the image of what God wants. He wants us, those who are strong in faith, those who know the relationship, those who understand the forgiveness that God has given us, that we would not use our knowledge, not use our abilities, not use our gifts to further our own desires or our own intentions, but instead that we would love and care for the people around us. Pretty radical, isn't it? I mean, this is almost anti-American, you know? I mean, if you look at the culture today, nobody's preaching, be a servant. Nobody's saying, the one who serves the most people wins. The one who serves the poorest and the most beaten down is the best one and the one that we should emulate. We don't hear that. It's all about who are the Fortune 500 companies and who are the ones that make the most money. Who's the richest man in the world? Who's going to be the next president of the United States so that he can impose his will on other people, right? And that's really the way that's really the world we live in. And so what our God is telling us is this. I'm calling you into a relationship. I've called you into a relationship through this baptism, through the raising of children in the Word of God, through the body of Christ coming together and hearing what God's Word is. God is in teaching us, and he's telling us, this is the way I want you to live. I want you to carry out the love that you have received, that love that is perfect, that love that is without condition, that love that is limitless, that love that never stops forgiving. And I want you to live out that same kind of love with the people around you. And this is hard because love is difficult. Love is complicated. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we would be tempted to think that in the first place that if I just give somebody some money, it's loving and I can be done with the whole thing, right? You know, you see somebody on the side of the road and they got the little sign up that says, I'm homeless and I need money. And we're like, well, I want to be a good person, so I'm just going to give them money. And that alleviates all of my responsibilities for this week, or at least the day, right? Well, does it? Did you love them? did you get to know them? Do you really know their needs? Did you take not money, which we have plenty of? Did you take time, which is something that we're so much more, we're so much more jealous about the use of our time, right? Did you invest any time into that person? Did you take a moment to actually share something of eternal value with that person, or did you just brush them off cheaply with something that you have plenty of? Because if so, that wasn't love for them. That was just something that made you feel better. And we got to be careful about that, because that's not the way Jesus loved us. He didn't just give us something that made him feel better. He gave us what we so desperately needed, and he spent thousands of years putting this plan together. That the Father planned this at Eden, and then slowly over time, when just everything was just in the right place, at the fullness of time, Jesus was born. He invested not just energy into this, he invested time. The God of all creation focused on this one task: to rescue you from sin. And God wants that kind of focus and devotion on us doing his work as well, that when we receive the love of God, we return that love to God and we reflect that love into the world. And that love going into the world is not something cheap and easy. It is expensive and hard. It requires effort, dedication, and focus, intentionality. I mean, how many people here know your neighbors by name and their kids? You know what I'm saying? And because if you don't know your neighbor, can you witness to your neighbor? You know what I mean? Can you really truly pray for your neighbor if you don't know your neighbor? I know you just moved. It's different, right? Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is this. I'll give you a week. You get to know your neighbor this week then, okay? Anyway, but you understand how this works, though, is that we need to be, if we aren't intentional about getting to know and really spending time with the people around us, we can't pray for them. We can't love them. We can't do the things that God is asking us to do. When Jesus got involved in our lives, he got very personal. The God of all creation became flesh and lived on this earth. It's what it took. He had to leave his place of comfort and dedicate all that time to just being with the people that he'd come to save. And now he's telling us, let's go love like that. Intentionally seek people out. Intentionally get to know them. Pray for them with discipline. Love them with wisdom. Actually get to know and figure out what they need before we just start throwing resources around, because that's not necessarily the most loving thing to do. Is this going to be easy? Good. Then I've explained it well. This is not easy. This is challenging. This is difficult. And this is the work that God has given us to do. That we will use every opportunity, every resource, every relationship to carry out the love that our God has placed in us. And when we don't get it right, when you come home and you realize, oh, I just blew up, that was a great opportunity and I just missed it, what are you going to do about it? Does it mean that God stopped loving you? No. Take it to our God in prayer. The way Christians deal with sin is you confess it. Take it to God, lay it at his feet. Lord, I made a mistake again. I did not properly love that person, and I should have. Lord, give me an opportunity, and I'll get it right next time. You know what I'm saying? And will God forgive you? Will he give you more opportunities? Because we get to work in his kingdom doing his task, continuing to serve and love the people that he loves. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your incredible love and for bringing us so graciously, Lord, into your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, go out into this world and just as graciously greet and love and get to know and pray for and serve the people around us. Lord, even if it is costly, especially, Lord, if it is costly, because that is the kind of love you would demand, costly love. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time to continue our worship with the offering. And as the offering is taken, we are going to continue to sing praises to God. And I also ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews near your seats.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray this day that you would help us to love and to care for others. I pray that you would open our eyes to see the needs of those around us and open our ears to hear of what's going on. Help us to be mindful of what it is that you are working in and through us to serve those around us. And having it on our mind, help us stir in our hearts how it is that we can be used by you to help them, to care for them, to love them, as you call us to do. Lord, I also pray for your healing upon many people, especially this day we remember Luke, a friend of Jacob Liebman's at college, who was in a skateboard accident. We pray for Liam, who recently had surgery, and for Tim, who had eye surgery. We pray for Nancy, who was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor, and for Jan, who's suffering from pneumonia. We pray that you would guide those who are giving them care, that they can give them the best treatment and care that they need. We pray that you would restore all of them to full health, that they can get back to functioning in the way that you have designed them to. We also pray for all those who are in our hearts at this time in need of healing and your care. Again, Lord, if there's any way that we can give help and assistance to those that we are aware of needing healing and help, guide us, that your love might be shown through us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, praying as he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Give you all my
God, whose grace still covers me. I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I've worshipped you and found you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing, the God of all my day.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Amazing God, have a seat, please. Come, one big thing. Okay, we were talking a little bit earlier. You can sit. We were talking just a little bit earlier about the school and the school theme and all that stuff, and God is working really, really powerfully to provide for a school. In the past, he provided for us through Kathy, who just baptized the baby that took her away from us. Anyway, children, they are very inconvenient. But now, then God provided us for us through Diana, who, could you stand up, Diana? Diana has been an incredible blessing to St. Mark's. We were in a hole because we needed to get accreditation done, and we just had to work like crazy to get it done. And when I say we, I mean her. The teachers did an incredible job as well. It was a team effort, but we needed a quarterback to help us to get it all put together. And then there is her husband, Mark, right? All right, Mark. Mark, his contribution to this was he retired, and then his wife retired so they could spend time together. And then we took her. So we just thank you, Mark, for just supporting your wife and helping our school and our ministry to do better. And you would think that God would be done providing for us at that point, but he is not. Because now he has sent us Megan. Megan, could you stand up, please? Megan is going to be our principal in coming into the future. And Megan is currently a kindergarten teacher. She launched her children and was looking for the next challenge in life. And so I'm here to challenge her. The thing is that we're just so grateful that God, but she's going to have a really interesting first year. We're changing the way we're doing education at St. Mark's School, and she's walking into a brand new job. She's going to be going through a whole lot of training, and so we're not done with Diana yet either. Yeah, so Diana's going to stick around and help us out this coming year. Thank you again for doing that. And Tim, is it? Yes, Tim, if you could stand up real quick, too. All I would have to say to you is I thank you for about what is about to happen. Because I know I'm married to a ministry spouse, and I know how much she has to carry, and I appreciate that you're willing to undertake this as well to support your wife and to help us to be the ministry of God that he wants us to be. So thank you very much. Folks, say hi to them today. All right, with that, God has blessed us in so very many ways, and we just want to be always going to him in grateful thanksgiving for all that he provides for his people. And so with that, it has been wonderful worshiping with you all this morning. I will be in the back to greet you for a short time, and then I've got to run off and do something. So blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back.